When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good morning, Who Dat Nation. Week 15 action starting here. We are inside the Superdome for First Take, brought to you by Caesar Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Steve, Jeff, Luke, Ashley, we are all hanging out this morning, getting ready for a Saints Commanders noon kickoff here on WWL. Saints Radio, and of course the Odyssey app. Jeff, good morning, sir. How you doing today, man?
Oh, I'm doing that. You know, as I walked into the building this morning, I was like, man, there's only two of these left. Gotta enjoy these, you know. And then I was like, thought to myself, wait, is there only two? And then I had to think, like, yeah,
okay. Just two home games for sure.
Yeah, next week's gonna feel like 6 weeks, but it's two games at home to see what happens. You know, maybe they win the division, maybe they get a home playoff. I don't know. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Too much eggnog already.
Yeah, that's not. I shouldn't go down that road. But it's going to be fun. I think, you know, this is an interesting game because I think if you went around, you know, I called my dad. My dad has no idea what's going on with the Saints. And he's like, oh, who are the Saints playing? He's like, I was like, the Commanders. And he was like, oh, the Commanders are really good. The Saints are going to get trucked. And I was like, are they? They're 8-5. Are they just a really, really good 8-5 team, or have they lost five games by accident?
Right. We shall discuss.
It's just an odd thing. Like, what? For whatever reason, the 8-5 Commanders, who have lost three of their last four games, struggled to beat the Giants twice, just like the Saints did last week. If you go back to week two, the Commanders became like the only team in NFL history to win a game where they allowed three touchdowns by the other team and did not score one on their own. Austin Seibert kicked like six field goals and they won, right? Like, those are the type of games they won, and that's part of their eight. So why is it that this Commanders team is viewed as like this juggernaut at 8-5?
Because they have their quarterback for the future.
Because of Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
Because of the confidence level people have in Jaden Daniels. And I get it. I think the Commanders feel that way. I think the team, for the first time in forever, feels like, man, we have a future here. You got the head coach. You got the quarterback. And because the Saints aren't viewed that way, it's like, oh, they're going to get rolled over. What's the line? 7.5?
Right.
At home?
Well, it's because obviously too the Commanders' offense has been, what is it, top four in the league in points scored.
Yeah, and they're gonna move the ball, they're gonna run the ball,
right?
You know, and I think that's kind of their strengths match up with the Saints' weaknesses. The Saints haven't been able to handle mobile quarterbacks. They haven't been able to stop the run. And that's what the Commanders are gonna do. They're gonna try to lean on you with Brian Robinson, and you know it's just funny because I feel like this game should be viewed a lot closer than it is, and I think it's gonna be a close game. I really don't think this is gonna be a blowout. I think the Saints are gonna have a hard time when it comes down to it, stopping the Commanders from moving the ball and scoring. I think it's going to go somewhat like the Rams game. And in the second half, I think that offense is going to start to take over a little bit. But this is not going to be a blowout. This is not going to be a walkover. It's just funny. Like, you're looking at an 8-5 team that's right on the fringe of playoffs. Like, this is a Commanders team that could still miss the playoffs.
Right.
But they've been anointed. And, you know, we're going to see what happens.
When you see, obviously, first-year head coach, first-year quarterback,
yeah,
still have their playoff hopes and dreams intact, it seems like a hopeless task ahead for a Saints squad. No Derek Carr today, and that have been just, you know, struggling, like you mentioned, against the run. and a running quarterback, which this team, this Washington squad, seems to do well.
Derek Carr's not playing, that changes everything.
Oh, my goodness. but we did see this offense struggle without him, obviously, with Spencer Rattler getting the go this week. It is Jay Kaner's turn finally, which is good for him, getting a shot to start under quarterback today. And we'll get to see last year's fourth-round pick, what he has in store. I know he's been patiently waiting. We'll have plenty of sound cuts from him to get into. And I thought it's really funny. He was even asked about that dreaded photo shoot he had with the NFLPA. And he's like, man, I can't stand that.
It's so much funnier now that I know he hates it.
Right.
You know, he had a few choices when he was asked about that. And he could have leaned into it. He could have like, you know, steered into the skid instead. He was like, I hate it. So now it's something that if he comes out and plays well today, kind of use it as a talisman of like, you know, if they lose, then it's going to be more of that. If you Google Jake Haner's name, the first image that pops up is like some weird edited photo with wings and like a TikTok filter on it. It's funny. He was like, it's completely different from like my personality.
Yeah, the photographer basically said to him, go have some fun.
Have some fun with it.
Like
every high school photo shoot ever. And he probably took that a little too seriously. But, no, I mean, I'm excited for Jake. For whatever reason, there's not the level of excitement around this start as there was for Spencer's starts.
Yeah.
He got three of them. Jake finished two of those games. I thought Jake played well. Like, there's a reason you're going to Jake in these games, and it's in part because when he got in against the Chargers, he moved the ball. He got the ball out of his hand. He operated quickly. He processed quickly in a week that he didn't have any prep work whatsoever. He went in there and he executed. And I think that's what you want to see today. I think you want to see a guy go out there and get the ball out of his hand. Right? We're going to talk more about this. The Saints allowed 16 sacks in the three starts that Spencer Rattler had. Two of those were on Jake in the Chargers game. Derek Carr's 10 starts, how many starts he has, he's been sacked 8 times total.
Right.
So, I mean, that can't happen. You can't win games that way. So I think that's a big part of this is, okay, can you process quickly? Can you move the ball? And I think that's going to be the story today. Like, if the Saints can run the ball, they can sustain offense, they can win the time of possession, they can keep Washington's offense off the field, then I think you give yourself a chance. If you can't do that, you're not going to win games. It's going to look a lot like weeks, 6 through 8, where it just didn't feel like anything. You didn't feel like you had a shred of hope in the second half of any of those games. So we'll see how it goes.
Look at that, our LCMC health update. LCMC Health, 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. Derek Carr was doubtful to start this on Friday's initial injury report. He has been downgraded to out for this matchup. Also not playing today will be DeMarco Jackson, the linebacker, and also wide receiver Bub Means, who's still recovering from an ankle issue. Questionable in this game, Tano Passanio. He has been coming back from that Achilles issue, so we'll be curious to see if he finally gets some game action today. And the team has activated Passanio from the reserve physically unable to perform list, and they've also placed DeMarco Jackson on injured reserve, so obviously he is out.
Yeah, that for Tano, it had to happen this week. So, you know, I don't know if he's even going to be up for the game. That's going to be the question. He's healthy. He can play.
Yeah.
He's been ready to go for several weeks now, and it's just been, hey, do we have a roster spot for him? DeMarco got hurt, and so that kind of opened up. But you're probably going to activate him either way because he is at the end of that 21-day return to practice window where either you get activated to the roster or you're done for the year. So he's back in there, and it's good. We're just going to have to wait and see how he's utilized. You know, there's not going to be a ton of snaps to go around. Like, you have a pretty loaded and healthy, the important word, defensive end room, right? Like, he's, you know, if you lump Isaiah Foskey in there, you're talking about 6 defensive ends. So I don't know. Like, it's going to be a tough nut to crack. You might get some third down work. What Tano did really well last year that I don't think the Saints have done enough of is, you know, shift an outside rusher inside and let him run some pass rush games with Bryan Bresee. Tano and Bryan Bresee had a really good kind of chemistry in those inside stunts last year. And, you know, we saw, if you go back to that Tampa game, that was a big part of it, is that you got a lot of pressure in the interior on Baker Mayfield in week 17 of last year. And Tano was a big part of that. So I'm interested to see. You know, he's a guy who's worked really hard to get back. He tore his Achilles during an off-season workout at the facility.
Right, we didn't even see him at all.
No, he just didn't show up for the first day of OTAs, and we're like, hey, where's Tano? I'm like, yeah, towards Achilles. But even at that point, they were like, he's not done for the year. He's going to work his way back. And,
yeah.
Because that's a tough recovery. Like, you could easily just pack it in and say, okay, I'll see you next year. And he was at the facility every day. Even out in Irvine, you know, it was kind of a joke. Like, we would always see him walking around in, like, a weighted vest, like, doing whatever he could at that stage of his rehab to be around the team, to be involved. And it's cool when you see a guy do all that work and get back.
Looking at this black and gold bunch, there's a lot of questions going into this matchup of, obviously, who are going to be Jake Haener's weapons. Thankfully, Alvin Kamara, the main one, I know, was dealing with an illness throughout the week, but was able to be a full go on Friday. Big sigh of relief from Hudats and I think the Saints squad as well. When, you know, you assume, obviously, with an illness that someone will be ready to play Sunday, but not seeing him the first two games of action. I know the second day, Coach Rizzi said, was kind of more of a precautionary to keep him at home.
It is always funny to me when, like, we get the injury report and it comes out as an illness and everyone's
this
huge heart relief.
Goodness.
Oh, fine, it's nothing. And meanwhile, this guy's, like, fighting for his life over the
He's
toilet.
All medded up and in bed, like, sniffling.
Oh, right. Yeah, have you ever been sick on a Wednesday? How'd you feel over the weekend? Were you great? But, no, Alvin's going to be fine. He's going to be active. Like you said, Darren, you know, initially Darren said he expected him out at practice on Thursday. On Friday, he told us that he kind of made the call to keep him out because he was sick and they just wanted to play it safe. Like, he was pretty sick, according to what Darren was saying. So, no, he'll be out there, and that's good for Jake. You know, one of the things that happened in those Spencer Rattler starts is you were down several offensive linemen. You were down several key playmakers on offense. This week, you have more of a fighting chance, right? You have your offensive line in there. It's going to be the second week in a row that you have all five starters. I didn't think they played particularly well last week in the run game.
Definitely not.
You know, it wasn't their strongest game. I'd like to think there was a little bit of rust involved. You kind of got whipped off the line last week. Like, they had, what, 10 negative plays, 10 tackles for loss against the offense. That's too many. You know, if you include the sacks, you're talking about like 20% of the Saints' offensive plays last week went backwards. It doesn't even include the zero-yard plays. It doesn't even include the tackles for no gain. That's just the reverse plays. And that's just something you can't have. You know, when you have Derek Carr and you have a quarterback that you feel like is going to navigate that situation, and he did, I wouldn't say he did particularly well, but he survived it. You know, he didn't move the ball. You had two long drives for touchdowns. You can't do that with a young quarterback. You got to stay ahead of the chain. So that offensive line really needs to step forward today and win the line of scrimmage.
You know, you mentioned, obviously, with Derek Carr there, do you think there was ever really that opportunity he was going to be ready for this game, or even as the backup or emergency guy, or was kind of Rizzi playing games with everybody?
No, I mean, I think the thing with Derek is he's always going to push to play, so you have to kind of balance that with, I think, Mickey Loomis, when he was on WWL earlier in the week, he phrased it as, it's not about whether he can play, it's whether he should play.
Right.
And, you know, I think with the concussion protocol, really complicated, because, hey, your hand is going to be what it is. It's not. It's fractured. It's not going to get that much better over the course of the next month. So whatever it is this week is kind of going to be what it is. So if you can play with it this week, you can play with it. And I think the concussion protocol is really what complicated that, because he was never able to get out onto the field for practice and really test it out. And I think if he was on Friday, maybe you would have considered it. And because Derek is Derek, he's going to push to play. But I think it was always, hey, we got to pick between Spencer Rattler, Jake Haener. I think the lean was always Jake Haener, and you just wanted to see how he operated in practice before you put it out there. Sounds like the decision was made on Thursday after Thursday's practice, and he got the full reps on Friday. But, you know, I know Jake's excited because this is an opportunity that he feels he has earned. And, you know, when you get bypassed like he got bypassed.
Exactly. Gives you a little extra nugget of motivation.
Yeah, you can be the good teammate, the good soldier. You're frustrated. You're annoyed. You know, there's no way around it. I'd be more concerned if you weren't. If you weren't annoyed, if you didn't do all that work.
Okay, Spencer's getting the start.
If you weren't mad about that, then I don't think you have what it takes to be an NFL quarterback in the first place. So, like, there's nothing wrong with a little frustration. But it sounds like, you know, he put his head down, he got back to work, and he's now ready for the opportunity here. So, we'll see what happens. But again, like, I think people should be excited about this start just like they're excited about week six, right? Like, I think this is an opportunity for a young guy to go out there and show what he has. And does he have the elite arm talent of Spencer? Probably not. But that's not the entire story in the NFL. Like, I always say, like, when you in college, arm talent is like 60% of the equation. In the NFL, arm talent is like 30% of the equation. Like, it gets less and less important because all these guys can make the throws. It's about what you see, whether you can diagnose a defense, whether you can find the guy to get the ball to, and then the arm talent comes into play. But if you can't do all of those things before that, the arm talent doesn't matter, right? Otherwise, it's just a beauty contest. Like, oh, did you see that throw? What a beautiful throw. It lands 3 yards out of bounds.
Right, it's out of bounds, right.
So, yeah, no, I know Jake's really fired up to kind of let it sling today.
For Hayner, too, pretty impressive. The adversity he's had to put up with this year, we talked about just now, obviously, the, you know, getting passed over by Spencer Rattler to get the start earlier this season. But even during training camp, was dealing with a rare form of skin cancer, which was obviously scary for a young guy, anybody, really. And thankfully, it was nothing too serious where it was, you know, hampering him from coming back.
I mean, you look at his whole career, and it's like, man, this guy's never had a straight line to anything, right? You get drafted in the fourth round. They trade up for you. You're really excited. You come in here. You learn an offense.
Keep doubting me.
Yeah, well, and then what happens first game of the year? You get suspended 6 games, right? And so, you know, that's a pretty hefty chunk of your rookie salary out the window over what was most likely a mistake. A lot of times you take a supplement, you don't know what's in it, and then you get dinged, and suddenly you're suspended 6 games. And did it affect the season? No. Did it affect his season? Absolutely. Right? Then offseason comes and everyone gets fired on offense. You rebuild the entire offense. What does that mean for me, Jake Hayner, the quarterback? I'm kind of sitting here in limbo, you know. So then they're like, all right, they draft another quarterback. Great. Now I got to fight for my job again. Go out there, compete. Now, halfway through training camp, suddenly there's this report that I have skin cancer. I got to go deal with that. Still competing, still getting out there. The doctors tried to get him to miss one of the preseason games. Instead, he kind of looked at
him. Yeah, he was like, not a chance.
Yeah, I am not missing a game. Put more stitches in, and we'll see what happens. He goes out there and plays. And, you know, it's kind of just been the story of his career. And, obviously, you fast forward to week 6, and he gets benched. Or not benched, but, you know, he gets passed over for the rookie who came in and he competed with all season and then was named the backup. But he's not the fill-in guy. So, no, it's been a really interesting road for him. So, I think the way he phrases it is like, what do I have to lose? You know, just go out there. I'm not going to go out there and play scared. I'm going to go out there and show what I can do.
Here on First Take inside the Caesars Superdome as we get ready for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon. That'll be coming up 10 a.m. and then kickoff with Jeff on the sideline, Mike Hawes, Deuce McAllister on the call. High noon right here inside the Caesars Superdome. Only 2 home games left, folks. We are going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to dive into some of the sound from Jake Hayner and what he had to say on Friday as this team was getting ready to host this Commander squad. A noon kickoff right here, WWL Saints Radio on First Take. Taking a break. Be right back after this. Stay tuned. Welcome back into First Take, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Getting ready for a noon kickoff between the Commanders and the Saints here. There's only 2 home games left on the season. And I know I was already looking this morning, Jeff, at temperatures in Green Bay for next week.
Why
I know
are you doing that? Don't do that.
Because we're so warm here today. It's like, obviously, the contrast in that for next week will be a lot different. But the big news today is obviously the start for quarterback Jake Hayner, his first NFL career start with the black and gold, and going to get a chance to prove what he's got. Spencer Rattler we saw for 3 games earlier this season, and Jake finally talked about getting ready for this moment and how he cannot wait for the noon kickoff. Here's Jake Hayner.
You know, when I played in the Denver game, I played in the Chargers game with no preparation, you know, in practice, no reps, being able to come in and move the ball, you know, I felt like I earned it. And at the same time, you know, I play with confidence every time I'm in the game, and I feel like this week's no different. I had a full week of prep, feel great about it, and you know, my teammates believe in me, believe in what we can do, and you know, I'm excited to go out there and let it spin.
Talked about that process, too, of getting ready. He said there's no difference for him, at least, getting ready to be a backup or a starting quarterback.
You know, I've been going through my process since last year, you know, when I was working with Gruden, him allowing me to understand what my process is going to be and how to prepare like an NFL starter. So, you know, they always say, just always stay prepared. I feel like I've always had this process, and I've been, you know, practicing it for the last year and a half. So this week was no different. I do the same process that I've been doing, and I feel great about it.
How anxious is the youngster for this opportunity today?
You know, you got to go out there. You got to show the people that you can play in meaningful games, meaningful snaps, and you got to earn everything in this league. And I feel like that's been the theme of my life. I've had to earn everything I get. Everyone's doubted me. And I just got to go prove it.
Go out and prove it. And that's one thing, too. It's you got to think that maybe the youngster might be a little timid, a little gun-shy out there against a Washington Commanders team that has had a lot of success this year. The Saints have been struggling, but for Haener, there is no holding back.
Listen, I'm going to be confident. I'm going to let it rip. You know, I feel like I've worked too hard to go in there, you know, with that mentality of, oh, don't screw up. You know, sure. I've been preparing for this. I'm going to do everything I can. This is a must-win game. But if you look at it, we're 5-8. What do I have to lose? Right? No, seriously, like, what do I have to lose? I might never get an opportunity to start a game again. I'm going to show everybody what I'm capable of doing and let the guys know that I'm confident in doing that. You go and you win this game, things can change. So I think it's just a 1-0 mentality. Beat the Commanders and show everybody what, you know, Jake Haener can do on Sunday.
Jeff mentioned earlier the fact that Derek Carr has been good at avoiding sacks this year, and Jeff got to ask Haener about limiting sacks in this game against Washington.
When Derek was out weeks, what, 6 through 9, I think there was 16 sacks. And
yeah.
In the games he started, there's been 8. I guess when you look at that and you see those numbers, is there kind of a through line of, you know, what needs to be different to avoid that?
You just got to process and get the ball out of your hand and trust what you see. You know, I'm going to do everything I can to go through my progressions, get the ball out of my hand. And, you know, obviously with Derek, he's played in this league 11 years. He's seen a lot of looks. And I think having him down there with me on Sunday will be huge, because once I understand kind of what is being projected at me, if what holds true on film is going to be, you know, the tail on Sunday, then, you know, I can continue to trust my prep and go. But if not, I got to react. And I think that's the beautiful thing about a pure progression offense.
Is that when you say get your ball in the hand fast? Is it more just, you know, knowing what you're looking at? Is that?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of sit back there and you're like, okay, I have an idea of what's going on here. You trust your prep. You trust what you see. You know, and that comes with experience. It doesn't happen. You go and you see a lot of these young quarterbacks, and I'm not a vet by any means, but, like, some guys don't trust what they see all the time. And that entail leads to sacks, leads to you holding the ball. So I just got to trust what I see and use my eyes to my advantage and cut it loose.
Well, one thing where Jake also cut it loose, he had a photo shoot during that a rookie NFLPA meeting, and his photos went viral for his basically his supermodel poses that he was putting out there, giving plenty of Zoolander looks.
Yeah.
With blue steel and Magnum. Well, he was asked about that and is a little embarrassed about what took place during that photo shoot. Here's what Jake Haener had to say.
Such the opposite representation of, like, who I actually am. And I hate it so much just because it's just like, it's whatever. I did it. I got to own it. But I can't stand it. I would think I'm a clown if I saw that too. So, yeah. I mean, it is what it is, right? You just got to go let it rip on Sunday, and then people forget about that crap.
I don't know if people are going to forget about that, though.
Well, here's the thing. Like, he's right, though. Well, you know, I think at a certain point he should have been like, I don't mind. It's like, whatever, you know, because then people, you know. But, okay.
People know it bothers him, especially his fellow players.
Telling people it bothers you is a mistake. But he's right in the sense that, hey, you go out and win a game, no one's going to be talking about that photo shoot, right? It's the same thing with all these other things we talked about. No one's going to be talking about, oh, you got suspended to start your career, or you got passed over.
If it goes well, they're laughing with you. If it doesn't go well, they're making fun of you.
At the end of the day, you just got to go out and play good football, right? And one thing that, you know, he talked about there is a lot of times rookies and young players, when they get out on the field, they kind of get paralyzed by, I don't trust what I'm seeing. And that's, I think, the biggest hurdle that young quarterbacks have to get over in the NFL. It's a complicated game, right? It gets a lot more complicated from college to the NFL. Defenses are faster. Defenses are more complex. They're trying to fool you constantly. And understanding what you're seeing and understanding it quickly is often the key between, you know, a young quarterback getting eaten alive and a young quarterback doing enough for his team to go win a game, right? There's a difference between being a good player with high potential and a player that can actually go win a game right now on today, you know, and to do that, you have to operate at a higher level than just going out there and guessing, right? Because if you're guessing, eventually you're going to guess wrong. You know, like, you have to be confident and you have to be right. And that also includes understanding when a play is dead. You know, one thing this offense needs you to be able to do is identify the dead reads quickly and move on. You can't stand there and stare at a read that's never going to come open. You have to understand, okay, this is taken away. Go to the next one. That's taken away. Check it down. Right? It's that simple, and it has to happen quickly. TTT, time to throw. That's the stat. Pocket time. How long are you standing there in the pocket going through your progressions? If you can do that quickly, I think he has a chance, and I think that's why you put him out there, because I think he has a better chance to do that.
And obviously, Haener does not have the luxury of having the Saints' top two wide receivers still out for this matchup.
Guys aren't getting open fast.
No, exactly. Rashid Shaheed done for the season. And I know there's been sightings of Chris Olave at practice, but he still has not made his way through the concussion protocol. Is that correct?
It's tough. I don't know if you can technically clear the concussion protocol on IR. I think you have to come back and clear it.
Right.
It's kind of a complicated process. But he's been around the team. He traveled to New York last week. He wants to be involved. This was the first week the Saints could have feasibly brought him off of IR. There's been no indication that that's going to happen. I kind of feel like, to some extent, just opening his practice window over the final 3 weeks, whether you plan to bring him back or not, would be beneficial for him just to get kind of back involved, because right. You're not getting hit anyway. It's practice, but it would be a way to kind of ease his way back into the flow of things prior to the offseason. So we'll see if they do that. There was supposed to be an update last week. He was meeting with specialists. I think that meeting got pushed back. So we are still kind of in a holding pattern on exactly where Chris is. But it's a good sign to see him. You don't sit on the sideline of a game out in December in New Jersey unless you want to be there. And clearly,
hey,
Chris,
what's wrong with Jersey?
It's cold is what's wrong with Jersey. I saw some people say, well, he was there last week when I pointed this out. It's a lot different for a guy to show up at the dome and stand on the sideline. It is to get on a plane and fly out to Jersey City and hang out in 40 degrees on the sideline. Like, that happens because you really want to be around the team. So
we'll see what a trooper he is next week, maybe, for the Green Bay trip.
Yeah, if he's out there, that would be impressive.
It's like, I got to have another revisit with that specialist. It just so happens to be during Monday Night Football.
I have always wanted to shovel my driveway. Every time I talk to people about, what's it like living in the cold? Like, you got to get real, real excited about shoveling your driveway and scraping the ice off your windshield. That's the type of thing you don't think about down here too much.
No, definitely. We were talking about, obviously, young signal callers and their struggles in the NFL. Well, a guy that hasn't been struggling, Heisman Trophy winner, LSU stud, and Jaden Daniels, he had a little bit of a rough patch, though, recently before the Commanders finally got back in the win column. But we know from the arm talent to the escapability, being able to use his legs is going to be a problem for this black and gold bunch. And veteran defensive end Cam Jordan was asked about Jaden Daniels leading up to this game.
When you come in with a young, elusive, highly mobile, we don't even have a 40 time for him, right? Because he knew he was going to be a lock. The new tier of quarterback, they don't have to do things. but when you see it on film, he's looking game time fast. He looks like he has elite speed. He's a quarterback, so he gets to use the sideline to his advantages, like all the other quarterbacks have been. The run to the sideline, so you let up, and then they turn up the field. By the way, he can leave your fastest player because he's looks that fast on the field.
What is game time fast?
Some guys run a 4.4, but then you turn on the tape and they look like they run a 4.6, and some guys say they run it says they run a 4.5, 4.6. You turn on the game film and they look like they're the fastest thing moving. Game time speed is a real thing. Just because you run a 40 and clock at a 4.3 doesn't mean you can play at a 4.3 speed. Just because you run a 5.0 40 and then you get on and 4.8 and you're beating everybody off the edge.
Cam Jordan talking about Jaden Daniels there, who has completed 69.6% of his passes this year, 2,819 yards, 15 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and you mentioned the escapability and mobile part of his game, 590 yards rushing with 6 more touchdowns on the year, 2 fumbles for him this year, but he hasn't lost any to the defense in these matchups. Getting to him, Jeff, is definitely one of the scarier prospects I've, going into this game. I know we kind of joke back and forth on the Inside Black and Gold podcast. The over-under for rushing yards for him, I think, was just 39, 40 yards going into this matchup. But the Saints are going to be focusing on that, and he really hasn't run wild on teams this year, even though he is the second largest rushing cuddle for quarterbacks this season.
Yeah, it is a strange thing because you hear all about the rushing yards. He's only rushed for over 52 yards twice. He had 88 yards in the season opener, and then he had 82 yards against the Browns. I'm sorry, he also had 74 yards against the Cowboys 2 weeks ago, or 2 games ago, I should say. They had the bye baked in there. He's not a guy who's necessarily looking to run constantly. The big thing for Jaden is, it's when the runs happen. right? I think he has 36 first downs. He has more than a quarter of this of the Washington's – I almost said it. I almost said the R one. he has 36 of Washington's rushing first downs, right? And that's a lot. And what will kill the Saints today, and this is what happened with Drew Lock last week really, is third and long, third and eight, third and nine, third and 12, third and 14 – he's running for 15 yards, right? Like he's scrambling, and then he finds just enough to extend that drive. And those are backbreakers because those are the downs you have to get off the field on. And those are the downs that I kind of feel like if I'm the Saints, I might be throwing a spy in the mix. I might be putting Willie Gay on the field and asking him to chase him around because I cannot allow him to beat me with his legs on those downs. If he goes down the field, if Terry McLaurin gets matched up with Kool-Aid and he beats him one-on-one, he goes over the top. He hits it. You got to live with it. Like, there's going to be those plays. You cannot allow him to just execute you to death on the edges of the field. But I will go off on a rant here, and I'm glad Cam brought this up. And this isn't even about Jaden. But I feel like if the NFL cares about player safety, if they really care about even keeping the quarterback safe, they're going to turn these sideline dekes into unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. And what do I mean? When Pat Mahomes sprints on a beeline toward the sideline and then right at the last second decides, oh, I'm going to keep running up the sideline. It was like, no, you can't do that because the defenses are trained not to blow you up out of bounds. And if they do, they're going to get a penalty. But quarterbacks are allowed to take advantage of their own player safety rules. Josh Allen's like the biggest culprit of like sprinting downfield, going into a fake slide, and then going. You know what the result of that is? Trevor Lawrence getting blown up as he slides. Because you have these last-second slides, and the quarterback's like, I'm safe now because – you know, but if I don't want to, I'm just going to keep running. Drew Lock, that long run he had on that last drive, that's what Cam's talking about. That long run that Drew Lock had late in that Giants game, he sprints to the sideline, and then the last
everyone
second cuts up field.
You give up a little thinking, oh, I don't want to get a penalty.
If I hit him, I get a penalty, and then I get reamed up by my coaching staff, but then the quarterbacks are allowed to do that. So that's my rant. That's my righteous indignation of the day. If the NFL is serious about keeping quarterbacks safe, they will get penalized for fake slides and fake running out of bounds. Because that is, that, you know, it's I think to use a Mike Dettillier term, it's horse hockey. It's horse hockey. Anyway.
Cam would agree.
Cam agrees. I know he does.
We're taking a break here on First Take, checking out our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line as we head out. Morning, if the Saints offensive line can prevent sacks and the team has no penalties, they will win today. Joe from Biloxi. Well, I don't know about no penalties, but definitely have to limit those negative plays,
obviously.
Yeah, I'd
settle for no penalties. can I check that box off on my order this morning?
Yes.
No penalties? Yeah, let's do that.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll hear a little bit from that kid, Jaden, when we return on First Take. So stay tuned here on WWL. Back here on First Take, it is Week 15, and the Saints are hosting the Washington Commanders. Obviously, tons of excitement around Jake Haener getting his first career NFL start in this matchup for the Black and Gold. And on the other side of the ball, good old Jaden Daniels back in Louisiana, an LSU stud. Was drafted second overall last season. Has some experience, obviously, in Louisiana, a little bit in the Superdome as well. Daniels was asked over at Commander's practice about playing the Saints in the Superdome, and here's what he had to say.
It's going to be fun. I played football down the road, so I went to a couple of other games. I was blessed to go to a couple of other games, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good challenge. They're a good team. Superdome gets pretty loud, you know, and they're rolling. So we'll go out there, we'll see what we could do and compete against them.
And looking at this team at this stage, what are you seeing the most growth at this team overall?
Yeah, I'll say just our ability to fight through adversity. Obviously, things don't go as perfect, as smooth as you want them to, but the resilience that we show and how we're going to keep fighting to the end of the game, win, lose, or draw, I'll say that's the biggest growth and improvement that I seen from OTAs to even now.
Looking at the Washington Commanders, they are 8-5 currently on the season. They won their last matchup, but are still in the hunt for a playoff spot. Obviously, the NFC East, the Philadelphia Eagles, are ahead there at 11-2. But a wild card position is definitely doable for this Commanders bunch. Jaden Daniels was asked, does he look over those playoff scenarios on Twitter, ESPN, wherever, as he tries to see what this Washington team can do?
You can't really hide from any of that. I mean, you turn on your phone, you see stuff like that. So it's not really like an unknown, but it's like focus on the little things. Obviously, everybody go around this time who's able to be a part of it wants to be in the playoffs. But we can't focus on 4 weeks from now. Another playoffs is here. You know, we got to go out there. We got to go out there and compete against the Saints, worry about the Saints, then move on to the next week. And like I said, let the chips fall.
That was Jaden Daniels talking about, you know, checking out those playoff scenarios for the Commanders. They sit 8-5 right now, and today they are the 7th-ranked team in the NFC behind Green Bay, Minnesota, Tampa, Seattle, Philadelphia, and Detroit.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because this season could still go badly for them.
Like, oh, yeah.
That's where it's weird. Like, I mentioned earlier when I talked to my dad, I'm like, well, that's a great team. Like, they're 8-5. If they lose 2 more games, they're 10-7. Like, they lose 3 more games, they're 9-8. Like, it's an interesting scenario when you look at Jaden and you say, okay, could he be possibly hitting a rookie wall? He hasn't had, you know, his second half of the season hasn't been as strong as his first half of the season.
Right.
They had that rough game against the Cowboys, but if you watch that game, it was a lot more about special teams than maybe Jaden Daniels. He yanked an extra point and he allowed kick return touchdowns and all that. And there was a Zach Ertz fumble at a key point in that game. But, you know, that Eagles game, I don't think he played particularly well. I know he's been nursing kind of a rib injury.
Right.
And that's where, you know, Darren joked on WWL, they have the bye schedule because, you know, they got the Browns coming off a bye. Was it the Browns? I can't recall.
The Browns were coming off a bye.
Saints were, yeah, I can't. Yeah, either way, so they have the last three games. Rams are coming off a bye, I think.
Right.
Or, I don't know. Either way, they have a lot of teams coming off byes, and Washington is one of those teams coming off a bye. So they should be healthier. They did lose Noah Brown, who's a wide receiver who's been important for them. So we'll see how they replace him. Maybe De'Ami Brown, just to keep the Browns thing consistent. But Terry McLaurin is going to be tough to handle. One Ohio State player the Saints didn't get. I'm excited to watch Jaden out there. His first start in his LSU career was in this building against Florida State. And that was a game that, you know, you talk about missing extra points. Remember how that game ended? Remember how Jaden Daniels' first game with LSU ended against Florida State? He led them down for a game-tying touchdown, and then they yanked the extra point.
Right.
So he knows what that's like. He's had it happen to him a couple times. Actually, I think that extra point got blocked, but either way, it didn't go in, and they lost that game that way. So I'm sure he'd like to have some fonder memories in this building.
Looking forward to that noon start here on WWL. Mike Hawes, Deuce McAllister on the call with Jeff on the sideline. Coming up at 10 o'clock will be the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon. We'll get his takes on everything leading up to this matchup. Taking a break here on First Take. Want to hear from you on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. What's up to this game day? Who that's 504-260-1870. Taking a break, and we'll be right back after this, so stay tuned. Closing out the first hour of First Take, the Saints are partnered with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. Mingle with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fans Cruise. We are here inside the Caesars Superdome, Gate B, Loge level, as we get ready for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff coming up with the Cajun Cannon at 10 a.m. Want to shout out all the teams that were in this Caesars Superdome this weekend, winning high school prep football championships, and also a shout out to Saints quarterback, former Saints quarterback Teddy Bridgewater in his first season as a high school head coach. He helped lead his alma mater, Miami Northwestern, to a Class 3A state title last night. So shout out to Teddy Two Gloves there. We're taking a break. Be back with more First Take after the top of the hour's news as we continue to break down the matchup, Saints Commanders, right here on WWL Saints Radio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Hoodats. It is Week 15 action. The Saints hosting the Washington Commanders, a noon start here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. The Bud Light countdown to kickoff coming up 10 a.m. with the Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon. Will be able to break down all the action for you in this matchup. We, of course, too, are talking Saints versus the Commanders in this matchup. We've gone over, obviously, Jaden Daniels, a tough one going to be to try and contain the mobile quarterback. Jake Haener making his first career NFL start. And we really didn't get into another former Saint back in action in this building too much in the last hour, Jeff.
A former Saint?
Yeah, Marshawn Lattimore.
Oh, Marshawn Lattimore. I forgot about him. They traded him, and he hadn't played. I mean, it's like he doesn't know how to do anything but play inside this building. Does he know where the visitor's locker room is? Should we make him a map? Should we put up signs like, Marshawn, go this way, not this way?
Lattimore with the arrows, yeah.
Yeah, and so Marshawn's going to play his first game in a Commanders uniform. I'm interested. Like, I don't know how angry Marshawn is, like, actually angry. Like, how angry are you when you get traded away from a situation that's really probably not going anywhere to a team with playoff ambitions and potential Super Bowl ambitions with a first-year head coach who seems really well-liked and a rookie quarterback who has an incredibly high ceiling? You know, one thing that's interesting about that the Commanders defense. So Dan Quinn is their new head coach. What do you know about Hofstra football?
I just know Marcus Colson.
Yeah, Marcus Colson. Yeah. Marcus Colson and, like, Wayne Corbett.
And they no longer have a football team, right?
They don't. They were in 1998, you're talking about the Hofstra Flying Dutchman. And who was on that staff if not Joe Woods, the Saints defensive coordinator? He was the defensive backs coach. But also Dan Quinn, who was the defensive line coach. Also on that staff, Kyle Flood was the offensive line coach. He's now the offensive coordinator at the University of Texas. And also Raheem Morris was a grad assistant on that Hofstra coaching staff, now obviously the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. So this defunct football program has had four major coaches on its staff at that point. Like, that's crazy. They stopped being a program in 2009.
Right.
They changed to being the Pride. So when Marcus Colston was there in the early 2000s, they were the Hofstra Pride. But, you know, it's just kind of weird. Like, of all the programs to have these connections, it's Hofstra. Like, that's a heck of a coaching staff for a team that only existed for, like, a decade after that.
We were talking about Marshawn Lattimore. Will he have that extra motivation going into this game against his old team? Well, here's what Latt had to say.
Of course. I mean, I'd be lying if I said it didn't, you know. You know, it's like they traded me away, and, you know, I'm going back to some, you know, while they still have. You know, I'm glad, I'm happy where I'm at, but you know how it be, you know. Extra motivation for the game, that's all.
Just a little extra motivation for the game. So I thought it was kind of interesting there, Lattimore saying, they traded me away.
They did trade him away.
It wasn't like he was, obviously, then, it doesn't seem like he was vying for get me out of here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was just kind of an undercurrent of his last two seasons with the Saints. Of like, when you are in the situation the Saints are, which is, you know, not a high confidence index playoff team. Like, you're a fringe playoff team at best. If things go your way, you win 10 games, you get in. They don't go your way, you get injuries, you win 6 to 7 games, and you miss. You know, like, that's a point where, hey, okay, we have an asset here in Marshawn Lattimore. Does it make sense to continue to ride with him or to turn him into a few young players? And the Saints obviously opted to do that. And, you know, again, like, Chase Young's in a similar situation with the Saints right now. Like, he was on the Commanders. They drafted him number 2 overall. He was the rookie of the year, dealt with injuries.
It doesn't feel like he was with this team last season.
It feels Washington. Like a lifetime
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, they traded him to the 49ers. And kind of like the Commanders, it's like, hey, this is a team with a lot of upside. He ended up going and playing in a Super Bowl. How angry can you be at the team that traded you when they put you in a position to go play in a Super Bowl?
Right.
But I think professional athletes have this kind of mode. They just flip it on and off of, like, I need motivation. So whether I was slighted by this or not,
man,
I'm going to believe I am, because that's going to help. Michael Jordan was the king of doing that. He would, like, make up stories that people did to like, no one was trashing Michael Jordan, but he, in his mind, had this, like, corner that he could sneak into where he would trick himself into believing that everyone's doubting him. You know, like, no, we know you're great. But he needs that, because that gives him motivation. And then he goes out and he, like, ends careers because he's just myrtleizing people. But, and Marshawn, I'm sure, wants to do that today. Now, what level is he at?
Yeah.
You know, how is he in this new scheme? I don't know how they're going to utilize him. Is he going to get a full array of snaps in his first game action since, what, when's the last time he played L.A., the Chargers game? I mean, it's been a while since he's been on the field. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's on something of a snap count. Because the Commanders are looking at this in the long term. Like, they're not looking at it like, okay, we desperately need to beat the Saints this week. They're thinking, like, hey, down the line, we need this guy healthy.
Especially if they do make that playoff run for
sure.
Well,
exactly.
Right?
So they're not going to just throw him out there, you know, maybe a little under 100% just because it's a revenge game for him. And I asked Tyrann Mathieu if, like, revenge game is a fair word. He said, not really. Like, no one's going out for revenge against Marshawn and vice versa. But, you know, any time you get on the field, you want to put on a good showing against your former team. And this is no different.
You mentioned Tyrann Mathieu. He talked about the return of Lattimore and what he wants to see out of today's performance.
I mean, part of me just want to go at him all game. And then part of me is like, nah, don't let him make no plays. You know what I mean? Keep it a quiet game for him.
Yeah, I got a feeling that side of the field is going to be awfully quiet today. I don't know if Jake Kane is really going to be testing Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, I think if you're Jake, you say, hey, Marshawn, you're going to hang out over there by yourself. We're not going to throw at you. And that's why, you know, assessing cornerback play is tough. Because
he didn't do anything.
Right. If you're an elite cornerback, you don't the ball doesn't go your way. Right? And that's why, so you don't get a stat for that. You don't get a stat for perfect coverage other than, like, a PFF grade that no one trusts anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you get passes defense, but that's if they're throwing at you, which means that they think they can beat you. So it's this really weird dynamic of, like, okay, I shut down this side of the field. And that's why I almost think Marshawn gets bored at times. Because, you know, that's why I think he plays better in matchups where you have an elite wide receiver that he can kind of sink his teeth into, like a Mike Evans or, you know, whatever. Like, if it was Terry McLaurin, it'd be like, that would be a great matchup. Now, obviously, he's not covering Terry McLaurin. But the matchups that Marshawn tends to get into trouble with are when you go up against a team where it's like, okay, I guess I'll have covered John Ross. You know, like, who's out there? And that's kind of we're going to be with the Saints today. Like,
MVS can jump on him today.
Right, right. He's a guy who you put out there because he can lock up and take away somebody. But who are you taking away for the Saints? MVS? You know, I don't think he wants to be constantly sprinting, running go routes all day either. So it's going to – I don't know how they're going to handle it. Are they going to play sides? Are they going to have him follow Kevin Austin? Like, I don't know. I genuinely don't know. So, you know, it's going to be cool to see him out there. I'm sure he's going to get a lot of hugs in the pregame and the postgame, maybe a jersey swap. Who do you think he's swapping jerseys with? I'd say Tyrann.
Whew, yeah, that's tough. I would have to go with Tyrann, too, like you mentioned. Maybe a DeMario?
Yeah, I guess DeMario. DeMario would make sense. Maybe a Cam Jordan, yeah.
I need all of them. Collect the whole set.
Give me all of them. But, no, it's going to be an interesting matchup. And if he picks off Jake Haener, you're not going to hear the end of it.
You got the chance to talk with Tyrann a little in the locker room, and you asked him about Jaden Daniels and the Commanders in this matchup.
What are some of the keys to stopping a guy like Jaden who wants to run around and, you know, make plays with his legs?
Yeah, I think you guys just have to do a great job of, you know, just kind of building a wall, you know, setting good edges. When he does run, you want to make him kind of cut back to the teeth of the defense to where everybody is. So, because he's one of those guys, man, once he gets on the edge, you know, he got enough speed where he can run past everybody in his locker room. And so, you know, I think everybody just kind of doing their jobs, you know, setting good edges and, you know, just that effort, that hustle to the ball.
Looking at this matchup, Jeff, too, we're hearing, you know, Jaden Daniels worrying about that escapability, that scramble. We're going to see, you know, basically Willie Gay be assigned to shadow him.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because you can only do that in base. I don't think they're going to take Pete Werner off the field. Maybe they will. Maybe, like, in the nickel coverage, you send him out there and say, spy Jaden. But it's tough. I think this is one of those games, and you saw this in week three against the Eagles. You're better off hemming a guy like Jaden into the pocket. Like, you want him to have to beat you from the pocket. And what Cliff Kingsbury has done really well is create a lot of easy throws, like quick completions, and that's why you have a rookie quarterback with a 70% completion percentage. He's going to set a rookie record for completion percentage because Cliff Kingsbury has made things very, very simple for him, and he's executing it at a high level. But, you know, I don't think this is a game. Like, last week you saw the Saints basically living in the backfield for the Giants. I honestly don't think that's necessarily what you want. Obviously, you want to get pressure, but you want it to be controlled pressure. And if I've been frustrated with Chase Young this year, it's been because I see too many reps where he overrushes the quarterback and you leave this gaping hole on the backside for the quarterback to either extend into or just run. And I think that's, you know, people are going to complain. I guarantee it, we're going to hear at the end of this game, oh, they didn't get enough pressure on Jaden. I think a lot of the time you're just kind of sugar rushing and trying to hem him in because you do not want him to escape.
You don't want him to get loose, right? At all, right?
If this game comes down to Jaden Daniels' ability to beat me with his arm from the pocket, that's
so
the game I want to play, right? And that will be a victory for me. Now, I don't know if I'll win the game, but that will be a victory of my process, of my strategy working. If he's constantly getting flushed and running, you're in trouble. That's not a win for you. Like, you have to pick your poison here, and I think that's the one. So, you know, I think that's going to be a key is not, you know, and you talked about the over-under. Like, if you bet the over on Jaden Daniels' rushing yards, there's a chance that one play is 40 yards,
yeah.
Right? Like, if you misplay it one time, he can burn you, and especially second and long, third and long. You got to take advantage of those downs. So it's going to be fascinating to see how the Saints approach it. I know there's been a little bit of frustration along the defense in terms of, you know, maybe not being aggressive enough on the back end. Tyrann Mathieu has been a little frustrated. If you were watching that game, if you saw it late in the game, he came off the field, slammed his helmet down, like very upset about the way the defense was being called. He thinks they need to be in more kind of robber coverage, just take advantage of him in the backfield, not just have him be out there covering grass, right? And it's interesting because you look at this and, you know, Joe Woods was never brought in with the intention of calling defensive plays, right? He was the backup. He called plays in the preseason, but it was always going to be Dennis Allen's show. Dennis Allen is gone, and so you're kind of seeing the team adjust to Joe Woods as a play caller, and I don't know if it's always gone as maybe the way that some players would like.
Yeah.
But I do think this defense has played pretty well under Joe Woods.
I thought it was interesting you brought up on the Inside Black and Gold podcast the fact that there was that, I guess, the mic on field caught somebody saying they're out here calling plays like I'm not even around.
It was a weird situation.
And Tyrann claimed that, saying, oh, that was me.
Yeah.
And to me it was like, oh, the offense is afraid of Tyrann, so they're staying away from him. But
that
wasn't the case.
Yeah, so basically what happened is someone heard that, and they thought it was Malik Nabers. So you're calling plays like I'm not even effing out here.
Right.
And they said, oh, Malik just yelled this. And Tyrann actually took credit for it and said, that was me.
That was me.
And, yeah, I think a lot of people interpreted it as what you thought, which is like being a little arrogant and being like, hey, the Giants are calling plays like I'm not even here. You can't call that play when I'm here because I'll take it. And, no, that wasn't it. He was upset about his own team's defensive play calling. So there's definitely some frustration there. And we'll see. You know, I do think there's a balance where, you know, maybe they are better off being – cautious and having Tyrann kind of play that center field. But you're talking about Tyrann Mathieu. He's the honey badger. He takes what he wants. He wants to go get the ball,
right?
You know, so it's a balance. It's a balance because if you're too aggressive and you get beat over the top, you're not going to be like, well, you know, great, we played robber coverage and then it got burned. So it's tough. You need to let Tyrann kind of be Tyrann. But I think it's worth noting because you're going to get to the end of the season. You're going to have to make a lot of decisions. One of those decisions is, how did this defense operate under Joe Woods? You lost Todd Grantham. He went to Oklahoma State. He's going to be their new defensive coordinator. So you're down a man in the defensive room, right? Darren Rizzi said there's no immediate plans to hire someone into that role. We'll see if that changes over the next 3 weeks or so. But No, I think the way this defense operates post Dennis Allen is fair game, and you got to look at it.
Yeah, then there's going to be a ton of questions come the offseason from head coach to then the rest of the staff as well. Is like who ends up staying on, and obviously if you're bringing in a new head coach, they're going to want to bring their staff in it too. So they've got a lot of interesting decisions coming ahead for sure.
No, and like this game next week, it's the Raiders game, the Bucs game, whether you're in the playoff conversation or not, right now you are. If you lose this game, mathematically, you might not technically be eliminated from the division because, the NFC South, no one wants it, right? But for all intents and purposes, a loss today would basically end your chances. You got 1% chance going in. Once you get below 1%, that's nothing. That's marginal. This is an audition for a lot of guys. It's an audition for Darren Rizzi. You know, I think they did what they needed to do last week, which is bounce back from a loss. And take care of a team that you should be better than, you should beat. Now you need to put up a result that you can be proud of, that you can point to, because right now you don't have that. Right now you have wins over bad teams. I need them to go out and beat a good team, which the Commanders are, before I start to take that seriously. It's like, oh, we might actually roll this forward.
You're looking at the rest of the division today. The Buccaneers are at the L.A. Chargers. They're 7-6 playing at the 8-5 L.A. Chargers. And then we don't get the Falcons game until Monday. That's a doubleheader Monday Night Football. You've got Bears and Vikings, but also the Falcons are at the Raiders, hopefully that the Silver and Black can help us out a little and hand the Falcons another loss there.
Sounds unlikely.
Yeah.
Sounds unlikely.
We'll see if they can bounce back. And the Washington football team in town today to take on the New Orleans Saints. Taking a break here on First Take, and we'll be back with even more right after this. So stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who dat? We're back here on First Take. Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program this season. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Their current donations are at $29,140 for the year. So thank you, Venture Global, for your donations. We're back here on First Take, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Coming up soon, the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff, 10 a.m. with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'll be here to break things down. And then we get to a noon start in the Caesars Superdome between the 5-8 Saints and 8-5 Washington Commanders. They just got back into the win column last week after had dropped, I think it was three straight games.
Yep.
So,
on the Titans.
They're looking to prove a little something too. Obviously still in the playoff hunt for this bunch. And the Saints really just trying to play spoiler and keep their hopes alive at this point. Obviously the big news is Jake Haener making his first career NFL start. I don't think anyone outside the building maybe thought that Derek Carr really had a chance to be on track to play this game, dealing with the fractures in his non-throwing hand and also being in the concussion protocol. It always seemed like a way outside chance for him to be suiting up.
Yeah, if he was only dealing with the hand, I think there would have been some different questions. I'm not even sure if he's cleared the concussion protocol yet.
Right.
And, Derek's dealt with several concussions since joining the Saints, right? Like, there was multiple games last year he left in the concussion protocol. So it's not like this is his first go-around in that. So I think it's smart to play it safe. I do think they'd like to have him down there and be a resource for Jake on the sideline. So we'll see if he is in the building. I think if you haven't cleared the concussion protocol, you cannot be on the sideline. So we'll see if that's the case or not. Because I do think he would be a valuable resource for Jake down there. It's something that Jake talked about. He's been very helpful for him all week. He actually gave him 10 tickets into his box.
Very cool, right? Fresno State buddies there.
The car box, if you will. So Jake's going to have a lot of family friends in attendance. I'm sure his parents are going to making the trip to watch him play. But to me, if this is a game we come out of talking about Jake Haener as being the most important element, then you've probably lost the game. To me, what I want, I'd love to see a Kendre Miller game, man. I'd love to see a big game for Kendre. We had one last year in Week 18, and it just felt like he had some juice in that matchup. And you look at the Commanders, and okay, what do they do well? I think they've allowed the fourth fewest passing yards in the NFL at this point, 2,666 yards. But they've also allowed the sixth most rushing yards, 17 81, 4.8 yards per carry. So they're susceptible on the ground.
Right.
Right.
And although we thought that about the Giants, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the Giants kind of threw bodies at the problem. And so you just had guys firing off. And, you know, they were daring you to beat them on the outside with your wide receivers. And I think that's the problem, is you go against these teams that maybe have had a hard time stopping the run, but then they don't respect your receivers. And I don't say that to, you know, as a slight to MVS, to Kevin Austin, but you go into a matchup against any team and they're sitting in their meeting rooms and like, all right, we want to make these guys beat us. We want to make Dante Pettis convert on a key third down. We want to have MVS be your guy, right?
Yeah.
And so we're not going to double these guys. We're going to send extra bodies in the run game. And it's on the offensive line, especially the interior. I saw way too many missed blocks on the interior. Cesar Ruiz needs to play better. Eric McCoy, I think, is getting into the mix. And so hopefully he's a little bit more up to speed than maybe he was last week. But if you can get, I don't know, 70, 80 yards and a touchdown out of Kendre Miller, and you can get kind of that typical Alvin performance, I think that's what you want. I think you want to pepper the running backs and let them move the chains for you, extend drives. I don't need big plays. I need extended drives into Commanders territory. And then when you do get into the red zone, you need to take advantage of it. You're not like you cannot be kicking 36-yard field goals. So I expect the Saints to be aggressive on fourth downs.
Yeah,
and I expect them to run the ball early and often. And if they can do that, I think they have a chance.
I know in our Inside Black and Gold podcast, Jeff, that I mentioned the Saints need a miracle in this matchup.
Yeah, see, and I don't buy that.
Yeah, right. You were like, that's kind of overselling things a bit. Well.
Yeah.
Maybe things are starting to line up for this black and gold bunch heading into this game. NFL Insider for the NFL Network, Ian Rappaport, putting out there. Commander center Tyler Biadasz is questionable for today's game with an illness.
Yeah.
Sounds like he needs to improve a lot to play, really fighting it. So Christmas miracle maybe number one.
What does that even mean?
I guess he's going through it right now. Maybe he's at the turlet.
You hear like day to day. Is he minute to minute?
Yes.
Is he like fighting for
really
like,
fighting?
What is happening? But no, yeah, I mean that would obviously be, you know, a good development for the Saints if the Washington Commanders are on their backup center. But I mean, like, yeah, you that's the only, like, I also would say, hey, the Commanders should go out and win this game. But classifying it as like, a miracle
right.
is a little much.
I kind of over-dramatize things with the quarterback situation.
Well, it goes into, yeah, I mean, the quarterback situation makes it a really difficult scenario. But realistically, like, you know, what is a miracle? I think it's more, maybe some good fortune, right? You need a ball to bounce your way. You know, one of those, you know, Brian Brzee has been tipping balls up. The Saints got their hands on so many passes in New York last week. The fact that only one of them came down in DeMario Davis's arms, and even in that situation, like, dude, run, what are you doing? I think he was so excited that he caught it forgot. He was like, I got legs, run. Like, he was like, my Amazon Prime hands came in and I showed him off.
Well, how come he didn't order an extra pair for Derek?
Yes. Come on. Yeah, it's true. But whatever store he was shopping at, he needs to share that intel. But no, I mean, If one or more of those balls comes down in Saints' hands, that game is a blowout, right? And that can swing. Like, when you're getting your hand on the ball as much as the Saints have been, for none of them basically to just to kind of tumble into a Saints defender's arms is kind of wild. The only ball that tumbled into somebody's arms was on a two-point conversion. Colin Saunders gets his mitts on it, knocks it up in the air, and who comes down with it? Malik Nabers in a crowd for a two-point conversion. So, you know, I think it's like what you would call a miracle – I would call just good luck. I would call making a play and having it go your way. And if they can get a couple turnovers, if they can maybe score on special teams, right? You get a good return in deep into Commander's territory. You break off a run or two. I think, you know, you have to play this game from in front. I don't think you're going to have a lot of success if you get down early.
Right. And Washington's done a good job this year of jumping on teams early on in the first and second quarter.
They execute.
Right.
They execute. And they're consistent. And that's where the Saints have not been, is consistent. But no, I mean, I think that's the key. If you win the turnover battle, you execute in the red zone. I know Bobby's going to come on here and talk about red zone efficiency and winning the turnover battle. Like, it's a cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason. When you win those categories, you typically win football games. And you know, I still think Jaden Daniels is a rookie. I still think you can rattle him a little bit in this atmosphere. He's never played in here, without a pro him crowd. right? When he was here with LSU, it was obviously a very positive LSU crowd. He's never had to deal with an opposing energy in this building. So we'll see how he handles it. I think, you know, we'll see how confident he is. Is he really not a rookie like he's been looking, or can you make him look like one?
Seems definitely like a cool customer.
He does. He does. I've never seen him be rattled. I never saw him get rattled at LSU. He's like, even that last drive against Florida State, right? The game they lost. They didn't lose because of Jaden.
Right.
Like, Jaden calmly in his first game with LSU in this building just took them down the field, and he calmly has stepped into the NFL. He's gotten some good fortune, though, right? Like, you win a game on a Hail Mary, you lost that game, right? Like you, it goes down as a win, but you functionally lost that game and you got bailed out. Like, that's a miracle, you know? Like, that's the situation where, okay, we convert a Hail Mary at the buzzer. That's a miracle to get a win. And the Commanders have benefited from that. Maybe they've their mojo has run out.
We've talked about, obviously, here turnovers being a huge factor, getting that pressure on Jaden Daniels. Well, Saints color analyst Deuce McAllister on Friday's Fans in the Pro had a little bit to say about some of the keys to the game against the Commanders, and here's what Deuce thinks.
How can we steal possessions? How can you steal possessions? I mean, stopping the run will be imperative. Turnovers, even a fake, and we've been very, very aggressive with fake punts and even going for it. But the Saints have to put some pressure on them where they can't run the football. If this Washington team is in the game and they're ahead, you know what you're getting. They're going to run it. And then the quarterback scramble has been a disaster for us this year. But somebody's going to have to make a play.
That was Saints color analyst Deuce McAllister with some of the keys of the game. And obviously, right off the bat, Jeff, mentioning steal possessions, which, you know, in this kind of game against a team that's been having success at scoring and number four in the NFL right now in points per game, you realize that with your lacking in certain areas, you're going to need a little help. And the defense is going to need to show up today and take a ball back or two and give it to the offense.
Yeah, if I had to be critical of something on the Saints defense, they haven't been very opportunistic when it comes to taking the ball away. They were last year.
Yeah,
you know, were they +8 on the season, +10 maybe? That hasn't been the case this year. You haven't forced a lot of fumbles. You've been good about not turning the ball over. The Saints don't have a lot of turnovers on their offense, but they haven't forced a lot either. So it's kind of been you've seen a lot of games go like maybe one turnover on both sides, like last week, or you know, against the Rams, there was neither side had a turnover, which, you know, results in a very clean looking football game. But when you're the underdog and you're a 7-point underdog at home, you don't want a clean game. You want an ugly game. You want to muck it up and pull the Commanders down into the muck with you. And if you can do that and take them out of, like, you don't want this game to look pretty. Like, you don't want the Commanders to go out there and be running these majestic looking shot plays. Like, you want to make them feel it.
And we've seen way too many shot chunk plays that this defense has given up this year.
Oh, no question. It's been I talk about being opportunistic. The next thing I would complain about is you cannot allow this many explosive plays and expect to win a game. Like,
right.
Especially on the ground. Like, they've allowed way too many explosive run plays. Now, the Commanders are right there with them. The Saints are, I think, third in the NFL in terms of 20-plus yard plays allowed. The Commanders are right there behind them with 12 20-plus yard run plays allowed. And so, I think that's going to be, if you can run the ball and you can stop them from running, you have a chance, but it's hard to see that happening.
Yeah, I want to definitely see that Alvin Kamara, Kendra Miller duo having some success today to help out, obviously, the quarterback and Jay Kaner. Shoot, if it was Derek Carr, you wanted that kind of help.
Yeah, and you need. I think that's the difference. Is I think with Derek out there, you know, the running back assistance would be beneficial, and it gives you a much better chance to win. But you can survive without it. Like, I think Derek can execute it at a level that
now it's critical.
Now
right?
It's like you need it. Yeah. I don't. If you don't run the ball well today, I think you lose. Like, I think that'll be the difference between having a chance and not having a chance. Is forcing Jake to do way too much the way you forced Spencer to do way too much. Like, you didn't run the ball well in those games. Granted, you were going against the Chargers and the Broncos too. You know, you might be the two best defenses in the NFL when all is said and done. Like, those Those are really good defenses. So, you know, it's tough. Like, you don't want to compare these two guys. Like, I don't think that starting Jake this week is saying we're done with Spencer.
Not at all. And I hope people don't think
and
that.
And vice versa. That wasn't the case when you started Spencer in week six. You weren't done with Jake, clearly. Jake is the guy right now. So, you know, I don't think it's, you know, while they're going to look at it and say, okay, this is a competition, and, you know, at a certain point you are going to have to decide between one of these guys. I don't think that, you know, Jake playing well today is a negative thing for Spencer. I really don't. I just think it's you're going to see where both these guys are when you go into the offseason. Like, okay, do we keep one of them around? Do we keep both of them around? Do we keep neither of them around? And we just move on. You know, it's going to be questions you have to answer. So, you know, a win today for Jake, you know, he talked about this, like, you know, it could change some things. It can change the perception of you, whether you're here or not, whether another team around the league is watching you and saying, hey, you know, you can come in and be our backup if there's no future with the Saints. So, no, I'm excited for Jake. I think Jake's going to have a good day. I do.
Looking at the Washington Commanders run game, obviously we've talked a ton about Jaden Daniels having that escapability, mobility, number two in quarterback rushing yards right now on the season. Only Lamar Jackson has more. But this rushing attack for the Commanders, they have a guy in Ryan Robinson Jr., maybe doesn't get talked about enough outside of you know, some people that are really into fantasy football, I guess. Luckily that their 1-2 punch there of an Austin Eckler, he's on the shelf for right now for the Commanders. So you really just have to worry about Brian Robinson in that backfield, at least for Washington right now.
I've had Brian Robinson in fantasy all year. He's been a solid contributor.
Been really
for
good.
Me.
Exactly.
Yeah, I clinched the playoffs, so I have him. He's resting for me this week. I want to keep him healthy for the playoff
run.
Glad
he gets a little bit of a breather.
Yeah, he's been putting in some hard hours on the you know, the Salt Lake Gritties. That's my fantasy team's name. Yeah, it's because I draft Taysom every year.
But Robinson Jr. 4.6 yards per carry.
No, he's been
season.
Good for them. He has been good for them. And
8 touchdowns.
And he, you know, he's not the most dynamic runner in the world. He's very much a downhill runner, a one cut guy. He's going to try to. He reminds me of J.K. Dobbins a little bit. Like, I think it's going to be a similar matchup. But you got to man up. You can't get moved. You know, the Saints need their defensive interior to play well today, and that's been the issue. They've been moved off the ball way too much. That's got to be better today.
Hear the music, so we're going to take a break here on First Take as we gear up for the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon coming up at 10 a.m. Steve and Jeff rocking out here on First Take. They'll be right back after this. Stay tuned on WWL. We're back here on First Take. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak, bringing you until 10 a.m. with the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff that will be with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We were talking about some of the NFC South games going on. Clearly just skipped over the Carolina Panthers, who are actually favored for the first time in 33 games today, hosting
the
Dallas Cowboys.
Good for them.
Dallas has struggled, obviously, all season long, and it's funny. They're actually a dog. Carolina favored by 3 at home against them.
Yeah. Well, the 5-8. You know, the Cowboys are 5-8. I wouldn't have guessed that, considering, like, you know, the same record as the Saints, right? But, yeah, they've had a rough go. They lost their quarterback. They lost, I think, Demari Overshawn. You know, they've got guys going down with, like, insane injuries. Like, their knee is never going to be the same type injuries. It's been a rough year for Jerry and company.
Yeah, you look at this matchup, and obviously not a lot of excitement with a Cowboys-Panthers game unless you have fantasy football. A guy like Chuba Hubbard, Rico Dowdle can still be big factors for you in a matchup like today.
This is a time of year where, like, that's a game that only its mother would love kind of situation. You know, like, no one's watching that game. It's tough. But no, we'll see how that goes. I'm rooting for the Panthers to win a few games because I want to see them. I want to see them with something to play for late in the year, because they've got important games against the Falcons. You know, and I say this saying, hey, if the Saints win today, and their only real hope is the division, right? Because there's way too many teams ahead of them in the wild card. But if the Saints win today, they're really going to become big Panthers fans, because you'll need the Bucs and the Falcons to pick up a loss against a team they probably should beat. And the Panthers just seem like that team this year that's, like, relishing that opportunity to play spoiler. And they've almost done it a couple times. They took the Chiefs down to the wire, and they lost late on a fumble against I can't even recall. But now the Panthers are actually an interesting team to watch. I think they're going to be. You know, every year you see a team make a one-year turnaround. You know, I think next year, if they put the right pieces in place, you could see them making a turnaround.
Yeah, if you heard the Cajun cannon in the background, he was telling us that defensive lineman Wayne Martin in the building, and that's because he is legend of the game today. Club's first-round pick back in 1989 out of Arkansas. Defensive lineman Wayne Martin was the Iron Man. He only missed one contest in 11 seasons, starting 144 straight games. He amassed 82.5 career sacks, third in franchise history. And in 1992, Martin was selected as an All-Pro when he racked up 15.5 sacks. Nice. Then in 2003, Martin was inducted into the Saints Hall of Fame. So we'll be honoring him as the Saints legend of the game in this matchup.
The Dawn Patrol.
This, yeah.
Jim Wilkes and Frank Martin. Oh, Cajun Cannon saying, "Don't patrol, baby."
They made the Dawn Patrol great.
He made the help.
Robbie, you're going to be on here in 10 minutes. You can tell us that.
He can't help it.
He can't help it. He's so excited.
We're taking a break here on First Take, wrapping things up right after this, so stay tuned here on WWL. Back here on First Take, Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak. He's getting ready to get his pack and head to the sideline as we get ready for a noon start here in the Caesars Superdome. Just one of two home games remaining on the season. And who knows? Maybe some magic will happen and they can end up taking the division to end up having that playoff game. But you can't count on this team obviously being a wild card contender. If they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to have to win the NFC South.
Yeah, I mean, technically you're still alive in the wild card race, but it's like that's just like, oh, if everyone else loses all of their games. No, I mean, this is at the end of the day, it doesn't even matter. Like, you just got to go and win.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't win, who cares what the percentages are? You're done. I mean, this is a game that, like, again, I think if you're Darren Rizzi, if you're the Saints, you really want a signature win in this situation.
Then it would be big, right?
They just don't really have one this year. There's really no signature wins. Beating the Falcons felt better, and then you saw they lose four in a row, and you're like, oh, I guess they're just bad. Beating the Cowboys felt great, and then you see they're just bad.
Yeah.
I want to see the Saints team beat a good team.
We had high hopes for that Rams game, but things fell a little short, obviously.
Yeah, it was a good game. I mean, it was close. They played well. They just didn't have enough juice at the end.
Exactly.
And that's the problem when you don't have any wide receivers, or at least not like elite wide receivers. And I don't say that as a slight. I mean, like, I think
facts
you look at
facts,
this roster, right, and you're missing your top two wide receivers. Makes life difficult in the NFL. If I'm like seriously considering Darren as a long-term quarterback, I'm sorry, head coach, he needs a win like this.
Exactly. Game like today, for sure.
Yeah, to really make a serious case that this is the best option. You have to be able to win, especially a game at home against, a good team, not a great team. You got to be able to win it.
Yeah, when you see this matchup, too, obviously things are stacked against the Saints right now. Quarterback situation, with all the injuries they're dealing to their top playmakers. But boo-hoo, nobody wants to hear that, obviously. Just go out there and win. And you do have the home field advantage. You have a guy like Alvin Kamara, hopefully, that can be a big factor in this matchup.
I'll tell you what, though. If they do find a way to win, that is going to be as good of a feather in your cap as you can have. You know, you're talking about going in there with a backup. You get these guys believing. You get them playing well. You know, that's going to be a tough case to ignore. So, I mean, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for a lot of guys to show what they have.
We talked about the odds in this matchup. The Washington Commanders now up to an 8-point favorite heading into this noon kickoff. Seems a bit high.
Take a home dog every day. I'll always bet me a good home dog.
Jake Haener's first start. We've got Marshawn Lattimore making his return. Jaden Daniels is back
in
Louisiana.
Chase Young revenge game, baby.
There we go. We're hoping for that. He's been able to pressure the quarterback a ton. Hopefully that'll be able to hit home against a guy like Jaden. That's a wrap on First Take. For Jeff Nowak, I'm Steve Geller. Coming up next, Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff. Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, right after this. So stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who dat, folks?